Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
News from the Nest here on this Total Request Thursday. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. On the other side of the glass, it was open locker room down at One Winning Drive yesterday. Adafe Owe, among others, met with the media. And one of the questions asked of Adafe, given that Kyle Van Noy is going to miss some time, is the depth on defense. Can you guys handle that sort of thing?
We have the next man up mentality. We have a lot of good rushers on our team. Obviously, it's going to impact us. A guy like KV, productive vet, you know, but we have a lot of guys that can step up. Dave, we have Mike, obviously. Me, myself, Tavius is coming into his own as well, so it should be good.
All right, it's Adafe Owe, and I guess the obvious guy that needs to step up is him.
Yes, they all do. They all do. They all need to step up. They all need to start winning their one-on-one matchups. You got to win. You got to win. You got to get, none of them have. The best one that has won most consistent thus far has been Van Noy, and he's the one that's out, and that's what hurt. Other than him, Matabike is next. You know, and I would be, they'll probably keep Matabike inside this week because that's probably the weakness.
Yeah, but for Adafe Owe, 10 sacks last year, you would think contract year as well. He's got to be kind of a premier guy. I mean, if we're sitting here counting on Mike Green to pick up the slack, I don't think that's kind of an appropriate thing. It's got to be Adafe doing it.
And, you know, he's gained this weight, and he said he's faster and all this. You know, Bobby, just show me, you know. Stop the talk. Just do it. Just do it. Just go show, because their tackles, you know, I mean, Penei Sewell will be more difficult, but you should be able to beat Taylor Decker. I mean, last week, the two tackles sucked. They were awful for Cleveland, and you couldn't beat them.
Teddy Buchanan, he's a rookie, and he's been thrust into, it seems, a starting role as he has taken big-time reps away from Trenton Simpson here 2 weeks into the season after a timeshare in week one. Got the vast majority of the snaps on defense last week. Here's Buchanan talking about he's prepared for this sort of big moment his whole life.
Yeah, absolutely. I've talked about this with other people. I think back to when we played Auburn at last year at Cal, and that for me was a huge moment, just, you know, coming from an FCS school, never really played in an SEC environment, you know, we were on the road. So I think back to moments like that and other big games last season, that being a jump, and then, you know, just doing another jump this year, I definitely do think those experiences helped a lot.
He's made good strides, Bob, from week one to week two. I mean, just number of reps, too. He's almost doubled it. But he does not look like it's too big for him whatsoever. He's good on special teams, and he's been good on the field. He plays extremely smart, is what he does.
Now, Teddy Buchanan was asked about settling into this role as a starter now in just his third game in the league.
I would just say getting more comfortable. You know, you're a rookie coming into an NFL team, NFL locker room. It's different. And so just adjusting to that, getting to know the guys, getting to know, you know, Baltimore and you know, just everything. It was completely new, so just acclimated in really every single way has kind of been how I've progressed so far.
I'm sure having Roquan lining up next to you, you know, in meetings and practice and games and helping you and giving you hints and ideas and coaching points, I think that's helped him a ton.
Now, it's great that he's starting second week into the league, but yep. What about Trenton Simpson here, third year in the league?
Yeah, and his reps keep going down. No, it's not good. You know, I mean, Bob, last year he got replaced by two old special team dudes, basically. I don't even know if they're in the league this year. Are they bored? And
Malik Harrison's with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
He's hurt. And, you know, you get beat out by a rookie. So it's not a good sign for him, let's just say that. He's been through two linebacker coaches, and both of them didn't like him.
Yeah, and the point is, too, he was, I'm going to say, handed the starting job.
Both years.
But he's lost it.
No doubt.
Both times.
Yep.
So how do you get him back confidence-wise to at least hope that he contributes in a positive way?
Well, what he's got to do is when he does, and he got 15 reps last week, Bob. When he's going to get some reps, and when he gets reps, put him in position where he's going to do well and make it easy. Blitz him and make him be in coverage. Those are the things he does well, and that's kind of what they did with him last week, Bob. And if you put him in those situations, he's going to have success.
It's 5-8-8-1-0-5-7, the Fan, news from the Nest here on this Total Request Thursday. Tavius Robinson, who I've liked all along, has found himself a role for sure, but was asked about the team, not necessarily him, but the team not really getting much pressure on the quarterback so far.
I mean, you could say statistically, like, third down rushing hasn't been, you know, what I've done over the first 2 years. But at the end of the day, you know, when my number's called and I'm out there on third down, I'm going to make the most of it. So, but at the end of the day, I'm just trying to do my 1 of 11 and, contribute to the team.
Yeah, he's not usually there on third down. Why? He's a real good run player, edge setter, those types of things. He's not the elite pass rusher type guy, and that's why he doesn't get a lot of third down. He gets his sacks on effort. You know, and if somebody else pushes the guy in the pocket, just like the fumble that Roquan got. Matabike is the one that disrupted, got to the quarterback, and then here comes Tavius. I mean, that's what he does, and that's his role. Is that a bad thing? No. That's what he's good at, and that's what he does.
I said it earlier. I mean, the Ravens, whatever problems they have on defense, he's not one of them.
No.
He's that identified role, and he plays it well.
Yep, no doubt about it.
Tavius Robinson was also asked about the Detroit Lions coming to town. Second time in 3 years. Last time Detroit was here, did not go well for them, but they're coming off a game in which they scored over 50 points.
Yeah, I think good team, good O-line, good offense. So, I just got to get to work this week, study them, and, go out and have a good Monday night.
I think when he studies them, Bob, he's going to like what he sees, you know, when he watches the O-line. I think he's going to see some things that they can definitely take advantage of. You know, the athleticism, that the lack of for Detroit's offensive line. And they're not smash-mouth guys. And because they're not athletic that well, you know, you've got a chance to create some things, you know, in the pass rush.
It's 5-8-8-1-0-5-7 the Fan. When we come back, let's count some dough. Buy or sell. Talk about the sports subjects of the day as well. Vinny's film breakdown of the Detroit defense going up against the Ravens offense that has put 40-plus on the board two games in a row. American League East report, all sorts of drama going on in the division and in the wild card standings in both the American and National League. NFL lunch, beat us some football. We'll do our picks for week 3 of the NFL. We'll do our week 4 stuff for college tomorrow. But there is a game tonight. Miami Dolphins, who have been dreadful, at Buffalo, who have been very impressive in their first 2 weeks. So we'll do our picks for tonight's game. Look at the schedules for both the top 25 and the National Football League. And Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, will talk real and fantasy football with him. And maybe since he's a White Sox fan, I'll rag on his baseball team, since, you know, the Orioles just swept them.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Start a request Thursday. Orioles at home tonight, taking on the Yankees. Start of a four-game set. Povich against Max Fried. We got the American League East report coming up at 12:45. Stick around for that. It is on Fox. National TV extravaganza. Orioles have 10 games left, 7 against New York. So let's put it up them pinstriped asses. Huh? How's that sound as we wrap up the season? Hopefully on a positive note. Terps are at Wisconsin. First road game of the season. Get 9.5 against the Badgers. A game you can see on NBC and listen to, most importantly, here on this here radio station. And the Ravens, Monday Night Football, taking on the Detroit Lions. Baltimore Game Day Uncensored will be live from the Horseshoe Casino. Our coverage starts at 2 with an inside access on Monday. And then me, Ken Wyman, getting you ready to rock and roll starting at 5 as the Ravens 4.5-point favorites in that one. And all sorts of other things going on in between. But right now, before we get to the sports, count some money by ourselves.
All right, Bob, the Dow is up 148. The S&P's up 41. NASDAQ's up 232. DraftKings is up 20 cents. Under Armour's up to $4.87, up 96.
Well, what? Wait a minute. It's up 96 to 487?
96 cents.
To 486.
486.
I thought it was 486 yesterday.
Yesterday, let me see.
Seems like 487 is like the always reliable price tag.
The low is 480. The high's been 493.
Huh.
Today. The low is 482.
Or is that 96 cents you're talking?
I don't know.
So $96, I'd be like, all right, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
All right.
Sell.
All right. What's up?
Start with the Orioles today. Lineup got a tall task tonight facing Max Fried, the second time they've seen him this season. Getting any sort of offense going against this guy, well, it's going to be difficult. And if you're thinking long ball, think again. Just one homer allowed in his last five starts, an overall ERA of 1.95 in that time. Buy or sell, Bob, the Orioles go yard at least once tonight.
Against Fried, looking at the historical matchups of the current day Orioles roster, the only guy that has taken Max Fried deep has been Jorge Mateo.
Wow. Would not have guessed that.
Yeah, so I don't even know if he'll be in the lineup. I mean, he doubled yesterday, stole a couple of bags. So maybe we'll see Manzo get a little creative. One home run against Max Fried. I'm going to buy it. And Jordan Westberg's going to hit it. How's that sound?
Double down.
Yeah. I'll bet you $500 worth. None.
Oh, my God. Feeling yourself today.
I will buy your Thanksgiving dinner for you.
Over to the NFL, where the tush push was a major talking point all offseason long, but ultimately no changes were made and the play remained legal. Well, here we are just 2 weeks into the 2025 season, and it's becoming an issue again. During the Super Bowl rematch this past Sunday, TV replays pointed out the strange nature of the play, the fact that pretty much everyone in that Philly O-line was either already lined up offsides or was getting an early jump before the snap. Dean Blandino, the resident ref on the broadcast, well, he was fed up. He called it a headache to officiate in the first place, wanted to see it eliminated. Even Nick Sirianni seemed to acknowledge the gripes by saying that, hey, if we're going to keep running this play, we've got to be perfect with the execution. Now more than ever, people seem to be on high alert when it comes to the tush push. So buy or sell, Vinny, that play will be flagged in some fashion when the Eagles run it against the Rams this Sunday.
Oh, I'm buying it 1,000%. They're going to send a message. When I was listening to NFL radio yesterday, Pat Kerwin, he had talked to a couple of defensive coordinators, and what they said that it's hard because they, like you just said, they line up offside and they start early. They said what they want to do is put the overhead camera when tush pushes up, when they're going to run that play, put the overhead camera right there, and you'd be able to see guys lined up offsides and starting
early. And that, what Nolan said, they did have an overhead view,
right?
And every single one of them was offside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Crazy. Even some of the defensive guy, because now they're trying to counter it. You know, the refs aren't calling. They're digging a little bit farther forward, so both teams are almost
across
the line.
Well, you can't see.
Right.
You know? And you don't know where the ball is.
It's rugby.
Pretty much.
Exactly.
Let's go back to baseball here. A handful of managers have already lost their job midseason, and more firings are sure to come in just a few weeks when the season ends. Dane Perry is speculating about which ones could be on the hot seat or fully out. And he actually lists the Mets leader, Carlos Mendoza, here, only in his second year at the helm. And last year, he led them to the NLCS despite being a wildcard team. Fast forward to this year, they're clinging on to that third and final wildcard spot for now, a game and a half lead over Arizona. Buy or sell, Bob, if New York misses the playoffs, Mendoza will be out after just 2 years.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and buy that. I mean, they've been flatlining for quite some time. And it was them and the Phillies neck and neck. Mets actually had surpassed Philadelphia at one point in the summer. Top of the East, that division's already been clinched. You mentioned the Diamondbacks, who we wrote off as dead. I mean, Burns got hurt early in the season. They traded away Syllable, Suarez, and Naylor, and yet here they are, only a game and a half. James McCann's had a lot to do with some resurgence here for them. But yeah, I would think the Cundiff might be coming for old Mendoza.
Well, we know the odds are not in your favor if you're an NFL team that starts 0-2. Just 8% of such teams have managed to turn things around and make the playoffs since 1933. Though last year, we actually saw three teams do it, including the Baltimore Ravens. So far in 2025, 10 teams are off to an 0-2 start, headlined by the Chiefs. And a CBS Sports list here ranks all 10 of those teams on a scale of most to least concerning. No surprises, KC is the top team here with the least concerns, followed by Houston. And then here's the real surprise, the Giants. Third on that list in terms of least concerning. That's ahead of teams like the Bears, Jets, and Panthers, just to name a few. Vinny, are you buying or selling that relative lack of concern for New York?
Well,
or Giants, I should say, because
yeah,
the Jets are
the
there.
For the Giants? Well, when the other two I can see that are above it, and the ones behind them, I don't think they got much of a chance either. I guess, you know, they figure that the defense, they've got talent on defense, much more so than offense. So I guess they're figuring that the defense is going to pick it up. But, I mean, the Giants, either the Giants or Chiefs are going to be 0-3 on Sunday.
But the quarterback thing, to me, has to be a non-starter. I mean, like, Russell Wilson was great, but he's not going to continue to do what he did last week. And it's just going to be this nonstop, all right, when do we get to Jackson Dart? So if you have a quarterback mystery, I don't know how you can have any sort of confidence in a team.
I would totally agree with that, Nolan.
All right, last topic of the day, getting Shohei Ohtani back on the pitcher's mound. It was a long process for the Dodgers, but it's paying off, even if he's not going deep into these starts. The results have been very welcomed. They've been a banged-up pitching staff all year, and there's been some thought that he could enter the bullpen situation when the playoffs roll around. Now, this is important to note here as a two-way player. As a starter, MLB did change the rules a few years ago that allowed Ohtani to stay in games as a DH even after he exited as the starting pitcher. But if he's going to pitch in relief, that same rule will not apply. He will have to play the field in order for that to come to fruition. He says he's willing to go back in the outfield for the first time since 2021. But Bob, are you buying or selling this as a realistic option for LA when the postseason arrives?
I'm selling it because of all the, like you said, the maneuvering that's going to have to take place positionally. It's not like Little League where the right fielder comes in and the pitcher goes to right field and they just switch spots. And I understand that Trinan and Tanner Scott haven't exactly been lighting the world on fire. as of late, but I'm selling that. Just keep that stick in the lineup and worry about what he's doing with the bat right now, which is pretty incredible.
When does he get to warm up? You know, he's starting a game. He's out in the bullpen before it starts, but he can't warm up to come into a game as a reliever if he's playing the field.
Maybe he can, like, throw to a fan in the stands.
Sounds like a headache to me.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I don't think it's going to be a realistic probability. When we come back, let's look at the Lions. Detroit Lions, that is, as we look at their defense. They were okay against Chicago. The Bears got some window dressing stats because Detroit's offense, which is totally dominating them. But are they going to bring enough to the table to make life miserable for Todd Monken and that Ravens? Oh, and then the American League East report around 12:45. Look at the standings and the scores. Go outside of the division in that regard. NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll get to our picks. And then Mike Harmon, Fox Sports Radio, talk real and fantasy football with him heading into week 3 that starts tonight. Little daily fantasy fun. I'm like a Keon Coleman against the Dolphins.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup. Enter Vinny's Film Room.
All right, earlier in the show, Vinny at 81057, the Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Vinny broke down the Detroit offense and the weapons that they have and changes on the offensive line, as we've discussed. Now we get to them defensively, and after shaky first week performance, especially earlier in the game against Jordan Love, in the Packers, they stabilized, I guess, against the Bears. Chicago got a lot of window dressing stuff, I guess, later in that ball game. But when Detroit comes to M&T, 8:15 kickoff on Monday, where will they pose problems, if at all, for Lamar in the offense?
Problems that they're gonna cause. Brian Branch, the safety, is a good player. He'll wear number 32. He does a good job in coverage. He lines up in a slot and those types of things. He caused a fumble the other day. He's a good player. I mean, their corners, DJ Reed, number 4, and Terrion Arnold, number 6. They're good. They're okay. But if you got Zay and you got Bateman running good routes, you should be fine. I mean, Adunzie had a big game last week for Chicago. I mean, they've given up yards passing. And their inside linebackers, Jack Campbell and Alex Anzalone. Campbell's their leading tackler. He'll wear number 36, inside linebacker. He's got 18 tackles. Anzalone's got 10 tackles. He wears 34. You know, so they both can run. They both run well. Campbell, he's a straight line guy. He's kind of stiff with his change of directions and stuff. Aiden Hutchinson's, he's back. And Aiden has 2 tackles and 1 sack. But he got some pressures. He could have had another sack, and Caleb Williams ducked out of it. So, I mean, he's the one guy that you have to account for on their defensive line. Now, the pass rush, they got similar issues as the Ravens. They can't get to the quarterback. You know, Hutchinson does, but the others, no. They don't get any pressure. And I went back and I watched a game from 2 years ago against Detroit's defense. Can't get pressure on a quarter. Lamar threw for almost 400 yards. And that's the thing. Caleb Williams threw for a bunch. You know, Love, he was standing back there, you know, eating bonbons. You know, so they don't get pressure on the quarterback, and they try to bring guys, and they still don't get there. That's the biggest problem they have, is they can't get to the quarterback. And their defensive tackles, you know, the other rusher is number 92, Marcus Davenport, who we'll see. He might be on the injury report this week. He's number 92. He can kind of bull rush some, but, you know, if he's going against Ronnie, that's a good matchup for Ronnie. And their inside guys, DJ Reader, who they got from Cincinnati, and Taliq Williams, who was a first-round pick, kind of bigger guys, and they're not that athletic, and they're like perfect fits for Falele and, you know, for our guards, for Voorhees and for Lindenbaum. Whereas the Cleveland guys, nah, that was a pain in the ass for them, because the quickness and athleticism is kryptonite to them. Now, these guys, yeah. So, I mean, they'll sit in there and they'll give Lamar time to throw the football. And then, all right, if he's got time to throw the ball, guys got to get open. And with their linebackers, I feel like that Mark Andrews is going to be a big part of this game. I think he's going to be passing-wise. I think he's going to get some targets and get some play. Bob, be totally honest, I think they're okay. They're nowhere near Cleveland. Now, when they came out against Green Bay, they came out with 8-man front to stop the run. You know, and Green Bay was kind of loading them all up inside. But the Ravens, when they came out, they came out, split them out. All right. And why do you split guys out like that? If they're average athletic kind of guys and they don't get pressure on the quarterback and you can block them, you know, you can take a lot of advantage. You got a lot more creases in there. You know, and we had Gus Bus running it 2 years ago, and I got Derek. So I really like the matchup for the Ravens offense on their defense, because I think Lamar's going to have a lot of time to throw the ball. And if Lamar has time to throw it, he'll find the open receiver. You know, because like Love missed some shots, and they dominated Detroit's defense the opener, and Chicago took it down that first series. Bob, running it, they hit creases in the run game too. And if the Ravens hit creases in the run game, forget about it. You know, so I just really like the matchup for the Ravens offense against Detroit's D.
So Aiden Hutchinson, could he create some sort of problems here? I mean, he's still coming back from a very significant, wait, broke his leg.
Yeah, he looks good. He plays hard like he always does. Yeah, he could cause problems to either side, you know, to Ronnie or Rosengarten. He could, because he's got moves. He's got a spin move and stuff, and his effort will be there. If you just give him a little help, you know, but the other guys provide nothing, in my opinion.
Now, the Ravens, they're back at practice today. Starts at 1 o'clock. We'll get an attendance report by the time we get out of here at 2. We know who's not practicing, but if likely he's not on the field today or tomorrow, are we assuming that he's going to miss yet another week and maybe load him up for Kansas City?
Yeah, I would think, Bob, he hadn't practiced since when? August something, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's early.
You know, so he needs full practices. So if he's not practicing, I think it's probably next week.
And then Ricard, John Harbaugh, when he met with the media on Monday, pretty much sounded like that's not happening anytime soon. But Marlon's another one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, that'll be interesting with Marlon, because they could really this is a game they could really use Marlon if he's healthy, because if he's got a bad ankle, you know, Amon St. Brown, if that's who they're, you know, going to line him up on the inside, that to me may not be a real good matchup for him.
And Rasheen Ali was in protocol. He got hurt on the opening kickoff, which should, we think, open the door for Keaton Mitchell for the first time. And with Van Noy, should open the door for the first time for David Ajabo.
Yep, you would think that.
We're trying to connect dots. I mean, could be wrong.
Pretty easy dots to connect. And then, you know what? When Ajabo is going to get opportunity, you got to show something. You know, it's going to be interesting to see. If he stands up, If you're watching people and he comes off the ball and just stands up, forget it. He ain't getting nowhere. He's got to come off low. He's got to come off low and hard. So is Mike Green. Mike Green's got to come off like he can, like he has, you know, but he's just got to get more comfortable in the regular season.
AL East report when we come back. We'll talk about the Orioles' win against Chicago yesterday afternoon, preview tonight's game against the Yankees, give you the standings as well, division and wild card. Two divisions, well, three, still kind of up for grabs. So we'll get into all of that good stuff. Bet Up on Lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. Hear more from the Ravens ahead of this game against the Lions on Monday night. We'll look at the week three schedule in the NFL, week four schedule in college football. We'll do our picks for tonight's game. Buffalo against Miami, and then Mike Harmon, real and fantasy football for Fox Sports Radio, as he gives us some advice on how to maybe win a couple of bucks on a Thursday with daily fantasy football.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
A closer look at the AL East with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, AL East and beyond. Here we are, what? September the 18th, birds down to their final few games, 10 to be exact, of the regular season. But still a lot of drama and intrigue going on within the division. Orioles do win yesterday 3-1 over Chicago, sweep the series. Orioles 11-4 here in the month of September. Dylan Beavers, two-run jack, as he had a good series out there in the Windy City. Jeremiah Jackson, come on, dude, another ribby there. Tyler Wells goes six strong. Gave up the home run to Talkman, and that was kind of it. Keegan Akin came in, picked up the save, his seventh of the year. So the Orioles finish off the White Sox, who are laboring in here in September. Birds were 1-for-11 runners in scoring position. Could have made it a puffy panzer, but they did not. You get to win, you count them, you take them, and you move on. 72-80 now are the Orioles, 36-38. Here at Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Kate Povich on the hill tonight, 3-7 with a 5.05. Lefty New York, get to them in a minute. They're 85-67, 41-36 on the road. Max Fried, fellow lefty, 17-5 with a 3.03 earned run average. Given the injuries they've had to the rotation with Heel and Garrett Cole, he was a big-time free agent ticket, and that's a guy that has earned his money here in 2025. It's a four-game set. Starts tonight. Tonight's ball game's on Fox. So national TV love for the Orioles here, trying to at least do a little damage to the Yankees in their hopes to hold off Boston or maybe even catch Toronto in the American League East. Speaking of Boston, last night, taking on the A's. Free baseball. And how about the always fun game-winning fielding choice?
Ground ball. Here comes the runner. Play at the plate.
Nestled on the call, Sogard, game-winning fielder's choice, 10th inning, 5-4. Red Sox edge the A's. Rob Refsnyder hit a home run earlier in the game. Former Oriole Darryl Hernandez drove in three runs for Oakland. Well, Sacramento. Nolan, real quick trivia question. Remember who the Orioles traded Hernandez for a couple years ago?
Swervin' Irvin.
Cole Irvin, baby. Now applying his trade over Japan, if I'm not mistaken. Doing its thing over there, but a Hernandez just got caught up in the numbers crunch middle infield here in the Orioles farm system. He drives in three, so good on him. Always root for the former Birds. Rays taking on the Blue Jays, and a really fast guy got a really big hit for Tampa when it mattered.
And a round ball base hit up the middle. Here comes Williams in to score. Chandler Simpson with his third hit of the night. Gives the Rays a 2-1 lead.
That would be the final score. That was Dwayne Stats Fandle on the call. 2-1. The Rays beat the Blue Jays. Kevin Gausman, speaking of former Orioles, he pitched well for 6+, but no run support. Diaz drove in a run for Tampa as well. Fairbanks picked up his 27th save as Tampa are hanging around. We'll get to the standings in a minute. And the Yankees in Minnesota taking on the Twins and Trent Grisham. You can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him.
High drive, right field. There it goes. He's done it again. Another home run for Grisham. A three-run shot. And the Yankees lead 6-2.
Two homers for Trent Grisham, now 33 on the year. Michael Kay, yes, on the call. Bellinger, he went deep, his 29th, as the Yankees win 10-5 and win that series 2-1 after getting shut out in the opener. Today in the division, matter of fact, coming up in minutes, Toronto's at Tampa, series finale there. Same with the A's at Fenway, 135, and New York here in Baltimore, as we said, at 7:15. Starting a 4-game set as the Orioles begin their final homestand of 2025. Division standings, Toronto's 4 up on the Yankees, 6 up on Boston. Detroit's lead all of a sudden in the Central's down to 4.5 games as the Guardians have won 6 in a row. Detroit had the best record in baseball at the All-Star break. Then they flatlined, got hot again. Skubal had the side injury. They said everything's cool from a structural standpoint, but oh my God, they're losing control of things in Detroit. Houston, they're back at first. They've won 3 in a row. They're a half game up on Seattle. Phillies already clinched the East. Milwaukee and the Cubs have both clinched playoff spots. Cubs won yesterday after blowing a 4-0 lead. So they're in. Brewers are still 5 up in the division. And out west, Dodgers 2 games up on the Padres. And the wild card, if the playoffs start today, which it doesn't, New York is in. Seattle and Boston are in with identical 83-69 records. Cleveland 2.5 out there. Texas is 4.5 out. And in the National League, Cubs, Padres, and Mets. Cubs are officially in. Padres and Mets. And Nolan brought up the Mets. They're clanking around. They're struggling. They're only 1.5 up on Arizona. Cincinnati and the Giants are 2 back. And even the Cardinals are still hanging around. 4.5 off the pace for the last wild card in the National League. When we come back to football, NFL lunch style, we'll feed you some stuff. Go back to one winning drive. Ravens on the practice field today at 1:00. So stick around. We'll give you the attendance report. And when we get it, we got our picks coming up for tonight. We'll look at the schedule, top 25 college football, the entirety of the NFL slate. And we'll talk real and fantasy football with Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. That game tonight, how to get a little daily fantasy win. Mike Harmon will give you some advice. Stick around. You don't want to miss it here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.